You clamoring for an encore, so here one is. Violinist Chi Yun and pianist Akira Eguchi with The Flight of the Bumblebee by Rimsky-Korsakov.
This is WHFR Dearborn, proudly broadcasting out of Henry Ford Community College. Thanks for being there on the receiving end of this information. We hope you're enjoying what you're listening to, and always very proud to present a very special, spectacular, eclectic, and unusual programming here at 89.3 FM and on the web live at WHFR.FM. If you would like to get in touch specifically in the day-to-day operations of WHFR, did you know that we offer what we call a staff training class? It's a 1-credit-hour course that you can take here through WHFR. It's called TCM, or Telecom 189, WHFR Staff Training, an opportunity to learn about broadcast, learn about our radio station, and perhaps one day be a voice behind the microphone as well. For more details on that particular course, give me a call, Susan McGraw, 313-845-9842. Love to hear from you, and again, thanks for being there.
Good morning. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my very special guest is Nancy Ballman, and she is a professional astrologer, and she specializes with relocation issues. So we're going to find out more what that is all about. Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
Great. How are you, Mike?
I'm great also. So it's a mutual thing. That's good. It's a good way to start off the show. First of all, I want to know, what is a relocation issue? What does that mean?
Well, in particular now, because people are moving for their jobs, for vocation, but you can also think of vacation, of education, choosing a place where you might want to go to college, where you might want to take a vacation. So there is a connection with the person's birthday and where the planets were aligned according to locations on Earth, so city, state, country.
Really?
So you can actually consciously make a conscious choice about moving, about relocating, if you have a choice.
Right. But people come to you and say they're thinking about moving to, say, Lisbon, Spain.
Right.
And you would determine whether that's a good move for them or not?
Lisbon, Portugal.
Well, it's Lisbon, Spain, isn't there?
I don't know.
No.
I'm pretty sure
it's in Spain, you know. How about Paris, France, if they want to go to Paris, France?
Exactly. Then I would give them an idea of what they could expect to experience there as far as relationships, about how it would change yourself. Sometimes people actually feel differently, act differently in one place rather than another. And then there are different places where you'll have experiences from other people. So one time you might feel like people are more friendly. Another place might be not as friendly. One place might be better for a particular vocation or career than another place. So this is a conscious choice. And then also it's individual and unique, like a person's fingerprint. So whereas one person might be very successful in San Francisco, it might be the worst place on earth for someone else. So mm-hmm. it's totally individual.
Mm-hmm. And do you actually advise people not to go to a certain place if you feel that's not the right move for them?
Yes, mm-hmm. I would. I would tell them at least. Astrology is not where it's the saying is that the stars indicate, they don't dictate. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can't or you shouldn't. It's like this is what you're going to find or you will tend to find if you go there as opposed to another place.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever really strongly advised somebody not to go someplace or do something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And have they followed that advice?
Then it's some people have and some people haven't.
And the people that didn't
called me back. Well, they called me back and said you were right.
Uh-huh.
Although the thing is that I don't want to be right. I want to help people.
Right.
So
so you don't say, "Hey, I told you so."
No,
you should listen to me. Right.
It's like, okay, now what can we do now? Well, at least the good thing is that it's very serious because it's expensive. It's mm-hmm. a very life-changing thing for people to make a move. Typically, people who are interested in moving may have the idea they want to do it up to 2 years ahead of the time when they're actually ready to move. So that's another part of astrology is the timing. Mm-hmm. Because I call it like your guardian angel kind of whispers in your ear and says, maybe we ought to try someplace else. And it's sort of a quiet whisper. And then a few months later, it gets a little louder and louder. And then it's like, okay, let's get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is planning ahead and knowing so that it's a part of not only analyzing how a place would be, but the when. Part mm-hmm. of when is the best time to move.
Mm-hmm. And what do you base this information on? The move itself, the date of the move, or a person's birthday?
It's all based on birthday because it's a branch of astrology called astrocartography. So it's mapping by the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all based on a person's birthday, the day, month, year, time, and place that a person is born. So all five of those pieces of information are unique to a person like their fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
And then according to that time, but then there is a timing element of when the move might be most propitious.
Mm-hmm. So basically that is the basis of any prediction or advice that you give is what that person's birth date is, regardless of the date of the move itself, anything like that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's all based on your birthday. Because a person's birthday is, like I said, like the fingerprint, that's what makes a person individual. Even twins who were born just a few minutes apart can still have an individual and a different timing mm-hmm. from each other, mm-hmm. and slightly different, obviously, personality traits.
Mm-hmm.
But it is all based on the birthday information and then the cycles that, because what happens is when at that exact time it creates a picture of the sky, which sort of looks like a circle. It looks like a pie with 12 pieces in it, and that's mm-hmm. what an astrological chart looks like. Mm-hmm. So we analyze how the chart is set up according to each one of those pieces of pie is what we call a house, and the planets that are in the house and the degrees that they are in the relationship that the planets have with each other.
Right. So there's a lot of different things. It's just not the date of birth itself. There's a lot of things, like you say, that people aren't aware of, most people aren't aware of anyway.
That's true, because after the date of birth, then the planets keep on moving, and they move at all different rates and speeds. So there will never be a time in the future when all of the planets will ever be aligned exactly that same way again. Now, some of them will repeat their cycles, and some of them are shorter and some of them are longer. But as they proceed, that's what gives you the different cycles in life, where you have some highs and some lows and some good times and some bad times, and sometimes to be cautious. And
mm-hmm.
So it's like that's what we look at, is what cycle are you in? Well, how can you make the best of the cycle that you're in, and what can you expect, and how long is it going to last? That's one of the most important things, especially now with things being in a pretty down cycle
right.
for a lot of people.
It's well, like the whole world, actually.
That's right. Well, and we have the planets right now are aligned the closest to they were the as they were at the time of the Depression, as they have been since then.
So
it's not a surprise. Well, I'm saying the closest, but nothing is ever exactly the same.
Right.
So there are some of them that are set up very similarly, but to me, the most hopeful thing are two of them is history. Everybody's in it together over the whole globe, which is much different from how it was during the Depression. In Washington didn't even know that the Dust Bowl was happening until the dust fell on Washington, you know, from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So all these poor people were out there for years suffering before Washington paid any attention. And now we're all in it together, plus the fact that we have the internet. So you can't keep secrets very long.
Right.
Everything is out there.
Right. And there's cameras everywhere nowadays.
That's right. Good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, right. It's hard to get away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many people have you helped relocate, would you say?
Oh, boy. Over like 25 years, hundreds.
Hundreds, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how did you personally get involved with astrology?
With astrology itself?
Yes.
Someone that I worked with back in 1968 asked me what sign I was, and because back in the 60s that was a major pickup line.
Yeah. Okay.
What sign are you? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So then he explained about how birthdays have to do with personality traits, and then it just so happened it just had to be that I was meant to get into this, because within a few days of that, I was in the grocery store of all places and saw this book called Astrology for Adults, and it was written by Joan Quigley, who happened to be the astrologer for the Reagans later on. And that was my first astrology book. And so I read about some of the personality traits and went, how could they possibly know this much about me based on just the day that I was born? So I was just off and running since then.
Right. But you felt some kind of connection to astrology?
Well, and not only that, my mother tells me that when I was, used to read a lot about astronomy. I used to be walking around with books about stars all the time and stargazing up in the sky. And my mother reminded me, I didn't even remember that. So I think maybe, I may have even brought it in from a past lifetime.
Right. Well, that's possible. So you believe in reincarnation?
Totally.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I just don't think there's any other way to see it, because you can't just get it all done in one lifetime.
Right. Well, I think you're right. A lot of interest that people have during certain lifetimes, I think it's because they've been involved with that event in past lives. I know I have a person I work with very, very into the Civil War, so I kind of think that they might have lived through that.
Yes. Well, and my son, when he was about maybe 4 or 5 years old, he was looking through an encyclopedia and saw a uniform, a German World War I uniform, and he says, Mom, I remember these buttons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like the normal person, it would totally freak you out if you were not into this and didn't understand what he was saying. And, and so, yeah, definitely that. Also, you'll find that almost every person throughout life at one time or another will meet someone that they feel like they've always known, and they've never met him before.
Right.
There's like this instant connection, and that's often a karmic relationship of one type or another.
Right, or other people will visit certain places they've never been, and they'll know all about that place.
Deja vu, absolutely.
Right.
I have several clients who, and that's also something that is indicated in the relocation chart as well, is places that you would have been connected with in a past lifetime. So people have gone to like Egypt or some of the places in South America or Hawaii or India. Definitely. They will instantly feel that type of connection. Or they'll be attracted to the clothing or the chants or the jewelry, the food.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a connection with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you make that connection? Based through astrology, how do you make that connection to, you know, a previous lifetime?
Well, not necessarily that, let's say, that you have to, although I see it in relationship charts all the time. mm-hmm. that there is an indication when I look at one person's chart, a couple's chart, that how the planets are aligned and what they're aligned with, that there's often a connection there that shows that they were in a past lifetime together. And sometimes it also indicates the type of situation they were in, like if they were soldiers in a war together, or if they were together for a short time and separated, or if they were part of a family, mm-hmm. or sisters and brothers, that right. type of thing. Right. Because often people will have this connection with someone, and then they'll be sort of like, excuse my expression, freaked out about it. It's like, you know, why do I feel this way about this person? Why do we have these dynamics? Because it's some people really are astounded by that and shocked that they could feel that way, but right. it's very normal.
Right. And roles change during different lifetimes as well. I mean, you might have been sisters or brothers in a previous lifetime and maybe husband and wife in another lifetime. It changes.
Exactly. And then also you can have the roles reversed, like father and child, mm-hmm. and then the child becomes the parent, too, right. and that's just kind of a strange dynamic, too.
Right.
That I also feel that there is some connection in past lifetimes also with people who tend to want to be in a same-sex relationship, mm-hmm. that they, you know, that's also something that can have a past lifetime connection to. For example, let's say if someone was a female in several lifetimes and they come in this lifetime as a male, but they might be more sensitive like a female would be, or more feminine traits, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it does carry on from lifetime to lifetime.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you tell your clients this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If they're open to it, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I usually say, well, there's an indication of this, and if they're really interested or if they ask me, sometimes they'll say, you know, I feel like I had the past lifetime connection with this person the minute that I met them. So sometimes they'll already know and they'll be open to that, but it isn't something that I'll press if someone isn't, because like some religions are not really into that past and future lifetime. They think this is the only one.
Right, right. And I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest today is Nancy Ballman, and she's a professional astrologer. Now, for the most part, are you self-taught as far as astrology goes?
Oh, no. I mean, I've read a lot of books on my own, but as soon as I started getting interested in it, then I joined a group that was a study group at the Mayflower Bookstore with Bob Thibodeau.
Oh, yes,
was
it? Right. Yeah. He's been a guest on this show.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, because I've known Robert, I've known Dennis Fairchild, and mm-hmm. another teacher of mine, Laura Desjardins. She lives in California now, but she was also part of that group back at that time. Mm-hmm. So I met them, and then the most fun thing would be we'd go out and eat after the classes, and then they would be talking like Greek. I had, you know, this aspect and that square something else, and I just made up my mind that I was going to learn what they were talking about.
Right.
So over time, and then I found out about conferences. I spent the better part of almost every vacation I had for about 15 years going all around the country and to big conferences, so that I'd
really?
Have the opportunity to hear teachers and lectures from all over the United States, in the world, actually.
Mm-hmm. So you started to seek that type of thing out, all these conferences?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, because in that way, especially if you have, and that was also how I heard about the relocation work, because Jim Lewis, who was the astrologer who really marketed astrocartography, it was a method that really has been known about for several hundred years, but he was the one that really kind of packaged it and put it together. He was a speaker that came to Detroit for a conference in Detroit, and at that point I was a student, so I knew about like the who and the why and the personality traits, but I kind of felt like something was missing. There was some glue there that wasn't putting it all together, and mm-hmm. when I heard about the relocation and the where part, it was like that was it.
Right.
That was like, that put it in a package for
right.
me.
Right. You found your niche, so
I
to
did.
Speak.
I totally mm-hmm. did. And that's also indicated in my chart, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I have five planets in the ninth house, which rules relocation in foreign countries. So,
mm-hmm.
And I also have the experience that if I go to a dance and there are 100 people there, if there's one person from another country, that's the one that's going to ask me to dance.
Oh, really? You know that going in?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it happens every time.
Really? That's amazing. Now, how long did you study astrology before you felt you could do it professionally?
Oh, this is a really good question. I mean, not like there are not good questions, but
it
took me about 10 years to really feel confident, because I'll tell you that you are dealing with the most intimate, private, personal things that go on in a person's life, and this is not something to be taken lightly. You don't just read one book and hang out a shingle. Mm-hmm. So I was studying for the better part of about 10 years, and then my friends said, okay, like, you're ready. You know, they told me they thought I was ready. And what I did was I started out having lunch. I'd have lunch and then have somebody pay for my lunch or my dinner. I wouldn't, like, charge them for the reading, but I'd let them buy the meal until as the exchange for the reading, until I got confident with it. And then I consider myself, made up the card, and that was it.
Yeah, right. Had your rates made up the whole bit, then established those.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's worked well for you over the years?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been another job, let's say, for a while it was a part-time job. I don't know if I can call it two full-time jobs, but I've actually had corporate jobs over the better part of the last 40 years, and I'm going to be retiring soon and applying myself only to astrology and grandchildren.
Right. But that's going to be a nice break, isn't it, just to be able to apply yourself solely to astrology?
Oh, totally, because there are so many things that I want to do in the way of research now. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm really interested in disasters and like what the timing and their relation to the astrocartography charts, because it's a chart that goes on a world map. And Jim Lewis, who was my teacher, actually predicted Mount St. Helens, but he thought that it was going to be an earthquake. Mm-hmm. But he was exactly right on the timing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned earlier that some of the planets are similar to what they were during the Great Depression.
Yes.
So do you have any predictions about when we are going to come out of this economic tailspin that we're in right now?
Boy, that's the question on everybody's mind.
You'd be in Washington if you knew that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. what I can say, at least for I'll start with the state of Michigan. Okay, I heard a financial commentator, recently say that Michigan led the country in the downturn. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Michigan could actually lead the country in the upswing. And one of the reasons I say that is because in astrology, the planet of opportunity is Jupiter. Mm-hmm. If you think of jovial Jupiter, and it's in the sign of Aquarius right now, and Jennifer Granholm is an Aquarian, and the state of Michigan was incorporated under the sign of Aquarius. Mm-hmm. So for this entire year of 2009, so there are indications with the money coming to the state, even though we are having a very hard time here. The thing is that the idea is I'm looking at it like the locomotion, the locomotive that has chug to a stop, and what is it going to take to get the kind of energy, the kind of momentum, the kind of movement and the push that it's going to take, and then it chugs forward very slowly. So at least in general, I think it's going to take the better part of the first, at least half of this year, to really see some results. Another thing that we look at is, the real estate cycle is a 19-year cycle. Mm-hmm. So the real estate cycle that runs 19 years, as I recall, 1993 was like a low, similar to now, if people were land rich and cash poor. Mm-hmm. So if you add 19 years onto that, then we've still got a couple years before it turns up. But Jim Cramer on Mad Money, he says, and he's got a date on his show, I don't know, it's July or August or something like that. So I think it could start turning around. Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is really going to be what people do and how people look at it. The whole reason, if you stand back far enough, what are these cycles about? What are we meant to learn? It isn't just the planets going around the sun. The idea is, what are we supposed to learn from this? You know, we've had 30 years of greed, of expansion, of unregulation, and all this. So all of a sudden it has to stop. You can just go so far. And then it has to stop and start moving back in. And we have to find out what's wrong. And then we have to figure out what to do with it. Right. But if you stand back far enough, it's really about being humanitarian. It's doing the right thing for people. And that's what, during the Depression, it got so bad for so many people that people were feeding strangers as they walked by. People mm-hmm. were helping each other buy back their houses when they were in foreclosure. But we have to get enough people who really care about helping everybody. And that's what the cycle is really about.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, because we really can't go on in the future without realizing everybody, it's global, it's everybody. We're all in it together, whether it's finances or the weather or the geopolitical stuff or the global warming or what it is. Mm-hmm. We all, that's really what it's all about.
So everything has its own cycle, is that correct?
Yes, well, right. We have certain cycles. As a matter of fact, one of the very important things that started this year was a cycle that only happens once every 250 years. That's the planet Pluto.
Okay.
And it just entered Capricorn, and that's where it was when the United States became the United States. 1776, we have the United States has its Pluto return in 16 years from now. So historically, if you look at what was going on the globe and on the Earth, what was going on 16 years prior to the Revolutionary War, mm-hmm. you would find some parallels in history to what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's actually based on fact. That's not just interpretation of what people want to think?
No, it's absolutely based on fact. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite books for people who really want to look at history is called Timetables of History.
Mm-hmm.
I found it in the library, but you can get it at like Borders or whatever. It looks like a giant encyclopedia, but it goes back BC, and what it does is it traces people who are born, important people, literary things, religious, daily life, and the various things that were happening at different times in history. So if you can look back in the book at the 16 years before, like, so 1760, around 1758, I did some research on it. So starting in around 1758 to 1776, if you look at what was going on in the planet when it comes to religion, when it comes to daily life, when it comes to, like, the very rich and the very poor,
mm-hmm.
you know, servitude, where people were living, where they wanted to go to, why they wanted to move. I mean, we still have some of those issues going on right now, just on a much larger scale.
Mm-hmm. So, to a certain extent, what goes around comes around?
Yeah, astrology would say that.
Mm-hmm.
What goes around comes around, too, is actually a metaphysical saying, sort of like do unto others. And
right.
the idea that really right. goes back to karma.
Right.
That goes back to, okay, if you purposely, you know, somebody like, I don't want to be Bernie Madoff in any lifetime. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes. I don't know what you his know. Chart shows, but it can't be too good anyway.
He has lots of Taurus in there, and Taurus is not like I'm saying Taurus sun sign is negative, but the sign of Taurus is about material security. And he has a number of planets all together in that sign.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he is actually a Taurus sun sign, but he has several planets in the sign of Taurus. And one of the interesting things that I found out when I looked up his birthday is that they were saying on, I think it was American Greed, that the first person somebody like that has to fool is themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a planet Neptune, which is about a person living in a fog or imaginary world or taking chances. And he has that in his chart in an important configuration that has to do with fooling himself first and then fooling other people. But a lot of times that has to do with charm, too. So sometimes
mm-hmm.
those people are very charming
mm-hmm.
as well. So they can sell ice to the Eskimos. And
right. Very good actors as well.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more the thing is that I don't really even think it's a matter of acting. I think it's they fool
right.
themselves into believing what they're going to do, what they're doing is going to work.
Right.
And then they have to believe it first, and then they convince the other people, but they're living in a delusional state the whole time.
Right. And this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my very special guest is Nancy Ballman. She's a professional astrologer. Now, you talked about the planets, and I guess the planets all have different traits just based on their names or positions or what? How does that work?
Yes, that was something that the ancients back in 6,000 years ago or so were, they noticed that as they were sitting around, they didn't have like TV or you know, the computer or anything like that. They were just sitting around the fire looking up at the sky, and there wasn't anything else to do but look at the sky. So they, the name, the word planet means wanderer. So as they watched the sky and saw the stars stay in the same place, they noticed like some of those guys were actually moving from night to night. And so then as the their observations and calculations, and then what they did was they assigned certain personality traits to certain signs and certain planets, like the red planet Mars has rules war in astrology, or anger or aggression, actually energy. I mean, you can just at the least you can call it energy. And then Venus is kind of that pretty sparkly green thing. So Venus is socializing and relationships and things. And then as they were able to observe more and more later on with like Galileo and all that with telescope, then they found the other planets and that. So yeah, each planet has Saturn in particular is very important. Right now its cycle is every 30 years. So we're aware on a daily basis, of course, of sun and moon and the days and the night and season. But the other planets in their cycles that are really important, Mars is 2 to 2.5 years. So a lot of times I noticed for a while in dating that people would date and then break up after 2 years. It's like, what is this two-year thing? Well, that's Mars, because Mars is initiating something new. Mm-hmm. It's the Martian, the male energy. Okay, let's go out there and do something new now.
Yeah.
And Jupiter is a cycle that's 12 years. So in Jupiter has a lot to do with, as I say, jovial, happy weddings, opportunity. So if a person's been married for a cycle of 12 years, so that's the time to go on a second honeymoon and celebrate that they made it that long, mm-hmm. you know, or 24 or 36 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Saturn, our planet of career, is really important because if you think of the deregulation happened under Reagan 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we are now dealing with the consequences of what happened, initiated 30 years ago.
Right.
Saturn's right now, since September of 2007, in the sign of Virgo. And Virgo is about being practical, about being frugal, about being careful, about taking care of your obligations day to day. So what has everybody had to learn, you know, since the fall of 2007?
Right, some of the basic things you're just mentioning.
Basic, you know, basic, and down to watching every penny, being very mm-hmm. careful, doing without anything extra.
Right.
It's like everybody's talking about this now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's reality right now. People have just lived beyond their means for the most part. That's mm-hmm. one of the big problems, I think, anyway.
Sure.
Now, what about Mercury?
Oh, well, Mercury is the messenger. It's the planet that relates to communication. Mm-hmm. So writing, speaking, teaching, how your mind works, how you communicate.
And Uranus and Pluto are what?
Uranus is a planet of surprise. So and then also when it comes to weather, cold. So we've had, Uranus has been real active this winter, and as far as the weather, it's like cold, and with Pluto in Capricorn, because Capricorn's cold as well, so we've had an extra cold, long winter here. So, but this setup of Uranus and Saturn, right now they're in opposition to each other in the zodiac, and that was the same setup that was happening during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting that when I did some research on this in 1933, when Franklin Roosevelt was elected, was actually similar to this time frame when Obama was elected. So the hope, the fact that people have hope, and as long as people can have hope and feel positive, that's definitely going to help. You know, and I also wanted to mention that as far as like in addition to even though relocation is my specialty, that I still do when. You know, everybody wants to know about their career and their money and their relationships and their health and their children and all that. So that's something that I do regularly, whether or not somebody's interested in mm-hmm. in the relocation.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it true that women are from Venus and men are from Mars, or is that just a myth?
Well, it's kind of cute because I like what the book says because it helps people understand why women don't and men don't understand each other very well, you know, because mm-hmm. there are points of view. But the thing is what he says in that book about men needing their cave to go to, well, now that women, there's so many professional, full-time professional women out there, they need a cave too.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And then the men now, especially the younger generation of men, there, some of them are even staying home as house husbands. I know several women who are employed and their husbands are not. Mm-hmm. So they're at home with the kids because otherwise they'd have to pay a fortune to a babysitter, or they're working out of their homes, like doing computer work. In the entrepreneurial, this is another thing with times downturns in the economy, that the entrepreneurial spirit comes up. And especially with right now the baby boomer generation, mm-hmm. which, by the way, you will hear them say this is from 1946 to 64. Astrologically, the baby boomer generation is 1938 to 1958. And the next generation starts after 1958. But we're people that were born into the baby boomer generation, born into this, like, after the war kind of royalty thing, you know, the standard of living that we thought we wanted to aspire to. And now many of us are finding out that, wow, we're not going to be living the way that we thought we were. But what a lot of us are also doing is something after we retire. So, right. like, whether it's art or, you know, babysitting for grandchildren, or astrology in my case, or making jewelry or whatever. Writing books.
Right.
So there, this entrepreneurial spirit comes up. Mm-hmm. Often people, you know, can't be employed by somebody else, so they start doing something for themselves.
Mm-hmm. So once you retire, are you going to write a book?
I hope so. I have several ideas mm-hmm. of books.
And you just got to sit down and do it, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have heard that, you know, women have gone through more stress lately, that kind of stuff, too, as well. I mean, you know, it's just the way society is right now. Like you said, they're working more out of the home, and they're experiencing some things that previously they hadn't gone through.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, we've been kind of working that way, actually, since World War II, you know, when we had the taste of having a job, and then after the war they got sent back home. You know,
right.
it's like, okay, they got my right. guys are back now. But as you look at, like, I didn't think that I would be a professional person, but then when I was divorced, then I did in my mid-30s, then went back to work full-time. And at that time, before the astrology really was my second work, I made wedding dresses. So I did that thing part-time. That's another detail thing.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter then thought she was going to be professional and ended up staying home. But mm-hmm. it was an agreement with her husband, because he said, okay, you know, we want to live like that. So, but there's androgyny, but there's also choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can be kind of whatever you want to be. And
right.
you can do it almost wherever you want to now.
Right.
So there's so much more choice.
Right. Well, there again, like you said, you can advise a person, but they may choose not to listen to you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I really don't approach readings and, like, you have to. If somebody, even if I tell, if I see a relationship chart that looks really difficult, I'm just going to tell them, you know, this part's very difficult. You might have problems with your religion or philosophy, or, you know, this is going to happen, that. But it's like, I'm not going to tell you. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually some people have to, they kind of, like, run headlong into experiences. Like, what's it, that song is like,
right.
fools rush in where angels fear to tread, and
right.
but they had to learn it. So
right, exactly. It's just a life lesson.
I can tell you what I see, but I'm not going to tell you what you have to do or can't do. Although I have to say, last year my daughter wanted to put a pool in,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to start it under a Mercury retrograde. So you asked about Mercury. Mercury rules contracts and agreements and workmen.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sign of Cancer at the time rules water. So I told her, I said, I know you don't usually listen to me, and I'm not usually, unfortunately, my children, you know, they're the last one. Anyway.
Well, you're just
but
mom,
I said,
you know.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just mom to her. So I said, but this time, I said, I'm really putting my foot down. I said, if you start this pool under the Mercury retrograde in Cancer, by the time we get to the end of August, you're going to be really sorry, and you're going to be spending all next winter paying for something that you never got a chance to use. So
mm-hmm.
she listened to me this time, and they
yeah.
waited till the following spring. I was so happy.
Right, and things worked out well?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, what they ended up doing, actually, this was not summer of 2008, the beginning. This was 2007. They were
mm-hmm.
going to start it. But by the time the guy would have gotten there to dig the thing, and they had the inspection and put the electrical and everything, it would have been Labor Day. So what they did was, once they realized what was involved, then they did, like her husband did, dug the trenches in the fall, and they did some of the preparation work so they could get it in right away in April of 2008. So they really enjoyed it right from the beginning to the end of, of the 2008 season. So it was like, yay.
Yeah. Now, have you ever seen a chart where you, again, you said that that's one of the few times you really had to put your foot down? But if you look at a person's chart and you see something that might be very detrimental to them physically or whatever, have you said very strongly, don't do this, don't go there, or something along those lines?
Well, what I, the way that I would usually approach it is to say, around this time, this, there's a possibility of, like, either taking a chance too much, having a problem, possibly a car accident or an accident, you know, with machinery or something, that, or, you know, health problem, that you're going to overextend yourself, that there's indications of maybe a health problem coming up here. So I'll tell them what they can kind of expect and what I see, and I give them the dates and the times that I think there's going to be that. And but other than that, again, I don't say you have to or you can't.
Right.
Because that really is not up to me.
And you don't hold back any information. You tell everything to that client? Whether they want to hear it or not, right?
Well, you have to be careful. Well, there are certain subjects, like there are indications in some people's charts, let's say patterns like physical abuse in the early home life or sexual abuse or something like that. I mean, I actually know a reader or knew a reader at one time would just say, oh, yeah, I see you're sexually abused when you're a kid. You know, like it's, I would never, never, ever approach something like that. I might say it looked like there was strictness or wasn't a happy home life or something like that. And if they choose to talk about it, that's fine, then we'll discuss it. Because the thing is, your patterns that show up in your early home life in the chart have a direct bearing on your approach to sometimes your job, your relationships, how your whole life goes, and until you can heal some of that. But if somebody does not want to talk about it, then I won't go there either. I'll just state my case. And but often I've found that people tell me that's the first time they've ever talked about some of these things, because I saw it in the chart and they've never had an opportunity to talk to anyone about it.
Right. So you feel like you're a part-time therapist as well?
Well, there are these patterns that are in there. I mean, I have taken psychology classes. I don't have a degree. My bachelor's degree is actually in human resources. So I have I have the psychology classes there. Yes, exactly. But the psychological patterns that you're born with really indicate what it is that you're meant to work on in this lifetime. That's why I feel like it couldn't just all be done in one lifetime.
And this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And today my guest is Nancy Ballman. She is a professional astrologer. Now, with the passing of the Phenomen News, were you surprised by that?
Yes.
Okay, because you were working with that paper for 14 years,
14
I believe?
Years, yes. I did the monthly column for 14 years.
And did anybody tell you that was going on, or did you see that in the stars?
Well, I actually have the chart.
Okay.
I mean, there is a chart. Oh, and that's something to mention, that companies, there's what we call electional astrology. So if you choose a date, like to start a business or have a wedding or whatever, but because you're in for your first business date, your incorporation date, or the first trading date on the stock market, whichever is applicable, that is like a person's birthday. So I have the birthday of Phenomen News, and what I actually thought was that they were going to replace me as a writer. I didn't think they were going to be going out of business, because I just, in my own mind, I never would have thought of them as ending the paper, because it's one of the best metaphysical papers in the United States.
Yes, definitely. And they've been at it for quite a while. I was really
surprised.
Well, it's
30 years, but you see, here's a 30-year Saturn cycle. Mm-hmm. So it's like 30 and out in a corporation. It was like they decided that was completion.
Right. So it was time to move on in life.
Right.
So you weren't really totally surprised by that then?
No. No, not in that way. I think just kind of like how it happened and when it happened, that type of thing. Because I would have been nice to, maybe if I'd known that I could have, I mean, done something different with my last column, which was November of 2008.
Right.
But what I've done is, when people have called me or emailed me, I'm still writing the column. for myself and for clients or anybody who calls me. So I can just, if you email me, I can attach it to the email and send it to you. I don't have a website right now, but again, that's one of my future things when I retire, which is probably sometime in the next 6 months.
Now, so you weren't really disappointed at all?
Oh, of course. Really? Well, it's not just my column, but it's all the others. I mean, Dennis Fairchild and Louise Hay and all the other writers and the advertisers. I mean, you have all this array of people that have all these services, doctors, dentists, even metaphysical lawyers. I mean, everyone who could, all the people in there who were advertising and all the articles that were there. I mean, it's not just my column. It's all the rest of what was in there.
Right. Well, their festivals were, I don't know about legendary, but quite large. I mean, very impressive.
The best. Really the best in the area for so many years.
I know they were just huge. I've been to a few of those, but yeah, I was very surprised by that. Now, what about President Obama? Have you done his chart at all?
Oh, of course. Oh, yes. He is a Leo. He's a Leo. He really is very dedicated to the dedication. That's what people feel, is that, like, dedication, the sensitivity to the needs of people. You know, the thing is, when you have a president who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, even Franklin Roosevelt, if he hadn't contracted polio and had to go to Hot Springs, Georgia, and seen the misery and the poverty there, he wouldn't have been the president that he was either. So, but Obama's a Leo, which of course is, you know, is presidential, it's leadership. He, I said, even when he had no tie on and his sleeves were all up, he still looked presidential. You know, as far as, and having been dressed maker and seamstress, like, look at the clothes, you know, and how he wears the clothes. But I also found it was interesting that Michelle's a Capricorn, and you know how he always says, she tells me what to do, and she's in charge at home, while Capricorn is the leader, manager, and the person that keeps things all together and organized. So there she is, a Capricorn. And I've seen, even though traditionally Capricorn and Leo might not necessarily be your traditional compatibility, they work very well because he's the leader, he's the one out in front, and she's the one that's keeping things organized at home. I've seen it happen the other way too, where the man is the Capricorn, if he's like a leader, executive in a corporation, and then if the woman's a Leo, then she's the one that entertains at home and gives the parties and stuff like that. So both of those signs do actually work well, especially in this kind of a situation.
So you feel opposites attract?
Well, they're not really opposites. They're five signs away, but they support each other. That's the best. That's the best way that I can put it, is that they support each other in what they want to do. They're very supportive.
Right. So when you say opposites attract, they actually have to be on opposite ends of the spectrum?
Right, like Gemini and Sagittarius, signs, or Capricorn and Cancer. That some of the opposite signs have certain things in common, but not all of them. And signs next to each other typically are not of a good compatibility at all, usually two signs away. So, like, if you think fire and air support each other, earth and water support each other. So those are, there's the compatibility.
So, like, fire and fire might not be a good combination?
No, they might wear each other out, but I mean, it actually really
depends how you wear yourself out. You
That's
know.
Right. Well, the idea is, the question you have to ask is, what do you want out of a relationship? You know, if you want, like, a Cancer and a Taurus, that they just want to stay home and bake cookies and hold hands in front of the TV, you know, it's like you have to have agreement to get along. And so if you both understand, I think that's one of the things that people hardly ever ask each other when they're starting in a relationship, is like, what are your expectations? You know, what do you really want? What do you need? And if you never talk about that, then that's sort of a prescription for problems down the road.
Right, especially when it comes to money. From what I understand.
Well, all the things, see, this is where the chart has all the different houses. There's houses of money, of health, of relationships, of philosophy, religion, career, legal matters, education, friends. You know, I mean, all of these are areas that can either be an area of compatibility or something to argue about. Or children, you know.
Yeah, right. That's very important, too.
Right.
What are all the aspects you look at when you do a person's chart? I mean, you're mentioning different houses and things like that. How many things really are used in determining what a person's chart is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you use all those different things,
mm-hmm.
things that people aren't really aware of.
Oh,
but
right.
How much does that really come into play, and how prevalent is that?
Well, when I read at the Renaissance Festival for 6 years, and there I only had 15 minutes or 20 minutes to do a reading. So in that case, I would just look at kind of the highlights or what some major thing that's happening or major cycle or something. But if I generally I spend an hour to 2 hours setting up the chart, because I run them on the computer, but I write them out by hand and study it mm-hmm. before the person gets there, and then we talk for about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So the detail, the level of detail, now if you want what we call thumbnail sketch, you can look at a person's sun, moon, and their rising sign, and mm-hmm. that kind of just gives you a little overview, that thumbnail sketch. But when you look at, if you really want like all the dynamics and the details, then you look at signs, planets, houses, and the relationship of the planets to each other in the chart. So are they opposite? Are they square? Are they next to each other?
Mm-hmm.
What's the distribution of the planets in the chart?
Right. So there's a lot of nuances to be considered.
It's a lot of detail work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And how long does it take you to make up a chart usually?
Well, running it on the computer is only a couple of minutes, but it takes like a half hour to write it out, because I write them out. I feel that there's intuitive connection
right.
between writing everything, and I write them in colors. So that kind of like has the brain and the intuition connection for me
mm-hmm.
when I write the chart out. And then I study it for like another half hour, like
mm-hmm.
usually the night before, and then I have them all ready for the mm-hmm. next day.
Well, how much psychic ability do you feel is involved with this? Do you feel that you have a certain amount of psychic ability when you do these charts?
Well, everyone has some level of psychic ability. Some people have developed it, other people don't, or they kind of deny it or reject it. And I know there is psychic input, but it's like one of my astrology teachers said one time, even if you're a good psychic, if you ate something bad for lunch yesterday, you might not be on your, you know, highest beam with your intuition.
Right.
So I know there's, as a matter of fact, I usually just look at the charts, the signs, planets, houses, because I'm very oriented toward the details. But every once in a while, I almost feel like somebody's whispering in my ear and saying this or this. So I
right.
feel like maybe there's a spirit guide there helping me.
Right. That little voice in the back of your
right.
head.
Mm-hmm. Well, just kind of say, okay, this is this. And so I actually will communicate that to the client, say, look, all of this other stuff's on the chart, but this is something that I kind of heard said to me, and I'll give it to you, and you can do with that what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And all my friends say I'm far more psychic than I think that I am, which
mm-hmm.
I think is a nice compliment, but it's not like I want to really rely on that. I don't call myself a psychic. I'm an astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, oh, psychic astrologer, maybe, yeah.
Right. Do you surprise yourself sometimes with some of the things you get?
Yes, in the way that sometimes when I'm writing the charts out to prepare for, I'll feel like somebody's talking in my ear, like blah, 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 you know, like they're talking to me while I'm doing the chart. It's like,
mm-hmm.
well, slow down.
Yeah, right. let me take notes here. You know,
that's
just in
that's
case.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has it ever happened where you look at a chart and that little voice in the back of your head tells you something that's contradictory to what you see in the charts?
That would probably happen less often than it would be supportive of what's in the chart.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the information that I get is more maybe specific than what's in the chart. So here's the difference. I like one of my friends who's a very good psychic. Like I might say, okay, you might be meeting someone around this time. Here's a new relationship in your life. And she might be able to say, oh, he's blonde and, you know, tall and blonde, and you're going to meet him, you know, when you're out grocery shopping or something, you know, so
right.
she may be able to get to that level of detail where maybe I wouldn't in the chart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're still arriving at the same type of information at the same time.
Right. So you tell people that, then all of a sudden they start hanging out at grocery stores
right.
looking for tall blonde guys.
Yeah,
is
right.
that it? You know?
I'm not going to tell them that, just
oh, okay.
to hang out at the grocery
yeah,
store with
right.
a tall blonde guy.
You're not really going to get that specific, right?
No, because there's a timing. There's usually a range of time.
Right.
You know, too. And the thing is that you know how it goes. If you think that you're going to go and something's going to happen, it's like my mother used to say, a watched pot never boils.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. Well, you have to be open to when it does happen. You know, it
exactly.
might take you by surprise. You just never know.
That's
especially
right.
if there's a time frame involved and you think, well, it's going to happen within the next 6 months. And then,
mm-hmm.
well, maybe it's 8 months.
Exactly.
You
know, well, and that's why that's the point of it too. Then you also have to be open to a new relationship coming, you know. And
right.
I tell people, because I said, look, if all you're going to do is go home and do your laundry on Saturday and you're never going to go out with your friends, I said, during this time frame, make sure that you either, you know, go take a class. If people invite you, go somewhere or join a golf league or something, you know, do something that you enjoy that you would like to do with a partner and get yourself out there. Because if you're just going to be at work at home and, you know, never go anywhere or do anything,
right,
then you're cutting down your chances. But it also brings up kind of like this dilemma in my mind about people looking for someone on the internet,
mm-hmm,
and all that, because yes, there are certain times to meet somebody, so you might like get on the internet or whatever and say strike while the iron's hot, but then you still have to come to me for the compatibility.
Right,
see
right.
Which one.
Right, that's the important thing.
That's right, because people lie. Way back when that first started happening, when people were looking on the internet, I saw this joke,
yeah,
that had the guy sitting there, you know, he says, oh, I'm a Chippendale dancer, and she says, oh,
right,
I'm a model, you know, and that, but then they have the picture of what they really look like.
Right, right. But again, they can post a picture that is not them at all, and
that's
how
right
are you
well they
know?
Can just flat out lie,
right, exactly,
you know, or they can forget to tell you that they have $100,000 worth of debts from the previous three marriages or that kind of,
yeah,
stuff, you know.
They tend not to mention that
if there's
not
certain
first,
things, yeah, right,
anyway. Yeah, right. I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Nancy Ballman. She's a professional astrologer, and so far she's been very, very interesting. Now, something I want to know is, how often do you apply your own chart to your own life?
Oh, well, you can't, let's see, actually more often than I would have when I first started studying. I used to say, oh, I don't go grocery shopping or have my hair done. I used to say that at the beginning, but now I do.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the planetary aspects of the day before I have my hair done.
Mm-hmm.
Or even growing, not necessarily going grocery shopping, but I'm going to stop and get a couple things. But anything that's really important, like a really important discussion with someone, or even, you know, visiting, or the kind of things that you do each day. Certain days are better with some activities than others. Sometimes I just close the door, shut the phone off, and clean the house, and that's the best thing I can do that day. Because
right,
you're going to be more productive, depending on the sign of the moon that day, and that, because that's how you're going to feel.
Mm-hmm. So is it hard to be objective, though, with your own chart?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. why I have friends who are readers.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, of course you want the best for yourself, and you want everything mm-hmm. to come out right and be beautiful and all that good stuff. But
that's right.
It's hard to be objective, because somebody's going to say to you, look, Nancy, this mm-hmm. is not going to work out, even though you really want it to and you really expect it.
That's
so
right.
I think that's good that they help provide some perspective.
That's true, but I'm also one of those fools who rush in where angels fear to tread and
oh, really?
Test it. You know, it's like, oh, I see this and this in the chart. Well, this might be a problem or that, but I have to go test it and find out.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that several times.
Mm-hmm. So you like to experiment? Is
yeah.
that what you're saying?
To a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not dangerously or anything like
right.
that.
Right. No, I'm not
especially
saying jumping
with,
off cliffs or anything like that.
Especially with relationships and
uh-huh.
things like that.
Yeah. I see.
It's
you
like,
just
oh, yeah, I see
eyes.
That this might be a problem. And then, you know, 6 months or a year down the road, I say, yes, it was a problem. So I know astrology works.
Right.
See, I have to test it for myself before I use it on my
right.
clients.
It's hard to advise other people if you haven't experienced it yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, when you have a client come to you and they say, I really love this person, this is the person I want to be with, have you ever told them, you know what, this is not really a good match for you, things like that?
Well, we don't really, I don't really use the words good and bad.
Okay.
Because it's more like, this is your experience, okay? This is the type of problem that you might tend to have, or things might be okay right now. Or let's say if the people have been married, you might have a lot of grief from like an ex-spouse or children, you know, but that then it's the choice of the people. Are you going to let those children interfere? Are you going to let them be a problem in the relationship? I do remember in one particular situation, I did tell a fellow that he was going to have so many problems with this in this particular area that would be nearly insurmountable, that they would have to work very, very, very hard at counteracting the influence of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the idea is that, again, people will make, I'll tell you what's indicated there. It's like, okay, you might have disagreements on how to handle money. So it's like, okay, maybe you need to get a financial planner, or you need to get an accountant who's going to be objective. Right. Or in a lot of cases, I tell people they need to keep, especially if they've been really independent for a long time, that they need to keep their some finances separate and then have a third pool of money that they put stuff in that mm-hmm. they pay like their daily expenses out of, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So those types of things will help.
Right.
You know, to avoid a problem down the road.
Right. So the bottom line, though, is people always have free will regardless of what you advise them to do, correct?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why we say that the stars indicate, they don't dictate.
Right.
They'll tell you what might be happening, but you're still going to, if you're going to experience it, you're going to experience it if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, if people wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so?
Okay, well, my telephone number is area code 248-546-5407. That's in Royal Oak. And my email address is chartmates, C-H-A-R-T-M-A-T-E-S, all one word, at wowway.com, W-O-W-W-A-Y.
Okay, are you going to have any classes, anything like that coming up?
Typically, I've found that even when I've advertised for classes, I do better if it's a one-on-one. If it's a one-on-one tutoring thing, because this is one unique thing about astrology. People have either taken a class or they've read a book or something, but if you try to get a number of people together, they're all at different levels. So I found I usually do better on a one-on-one tutoring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for being here today. You've been very enlightening and a very enjoyable guest.
Thank
you.
So
we've learned a lot about astrology. So
thank you.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's going to do it for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I want to thank everybody for listening out there. I do appreciate it. I also want to thank Nancy Ballman for being my guest today. And I also want to thank my producer, Bill White, for coming in and helping out. Always a great help. I do appreciate his work as well. And I just want to remind everybody that coming up in May, May 30th, we will be having our own holistic fair called the Festival of Enlightenment. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a Saturday. That's going to be from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on that date. And if anybody's interested in becoming a vendor or a body worker or a reader, please contact this radio station and we will be more than happy to accommodate you and give you the information that you need about that event. So once again, thank you for listening and have a great day.
And welcome to another version of the Lost Highway. My name is Tom. Glad to have you aboard. We're going to be going all over the map today with some new stuff from Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. Maybe do a set of something from his new CD. We also have a little set that will be coming up with...